Going up to Canada now to talk to Stefan Verstappen, who is leading the movement for Canada to become the 51st state of the Union. Right, Stefan? I got it right? That's right.
Personal message for America from Canada, please invade us. I'll be at the border waving the American flag, opening up hospitality tents. And we welcome everybody to come and invade Canada, because you know the old saying, you can vote your way into communism, but you have to shoot your way out. And since Canadians don't have the testicular fortitude to shoot their way out of communism, we need Americans to come and save us. Save us, please. You know, we have a 60% capital gains tax.
Oh, that's great. Come on. Really?
Yes, we have a 60%.
That's communism.
Hello?
I think, honestly, if this were really, and it will be pushed, I think the globalists decided long ago that they wanted North America, including Greenland and Canada, to be one. And I think that's what their wish is. Trump didn't just think this up. He's the fourth president to go after Greenland. I mean, that's a fact. So, anyway, but you know what I think? I think if this were really played out in the minds of Canadians, logically, pragmatically, and looked at in terms of what you people have just been through with Trudeau and his father, etc., what kind of a government is that? It's about like Biden here, and I'm not saying Trump is perfect. He's not, because he's not his own man. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised to see this happen. I just wouldn't. How? I don't know. But I just wouldn't. And I think they'll just take Greenland, if they're told to. And I don't think Trump is going to, again, conceive this all on his own. He'll be told what to do.
Of course. Of course, he's not a sock puppet just like everybody else. What you think? Anybody gets into the position of president of the United States and they make decisions. They don't run anything. They just do what
people,
they're told by.
I wish Americans really knew. That would be step one in perhaps beginning to maybe take back a little of the control that we used to have over our lives. It's all been taken from us.
The plan to forge Mexico, United States, and Canada into one giant economic zone has been in the works for like 100 years. They've been planning this for a long time.
Well, that's the NAU. It didn't work. I don't think I sent you the Club of Rome map, which is 40 years old or 50. I don't know. It's old. But it shows the world divided up into 10 zones. 10?
Yep.
Areas and number one is North America, excluding Mexico. Mexico goes to Central and South America. The north part of it, the northern. No, it doesn't. I'll send you the map, but it's been talked about for a long time, and Mexico just doesn't fit. Canada will fit. And there's no problem there.
Canada and America. I mean, culturally, we are almost identical in every way.
Of course. So I mean, it's not some horrifying shock. It has to be looked at pragmatically, logically, and in terms of the future.
Yeah.
There hopefully will be a future. I'm not sure. Now, what is this? You may not want to talk about this, so don't. But I understand you've been inspecting the insides of hospitals again, briefly.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't want to talk about it too long, but last week I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, chest pain radiating into the left. I called Dixie, and she came over with a blood pressure kit. And blood pressure through the roof, breathing issues, off to the hospital. The good news is it's a small town. We have a beautiful little hospital there. And the people are really friendly. It's not bad. But anyways, I was in there for a week. I'm climbing the walls, Jeff. It's just driving me insane. I'm butting heads with all the doctors. They don't like me. You know, because They said, well, we've got to send you off to this test now. And the last thing they sent me off was a cardiac catheter. That's where they cut open your radial artery at your wrist, and they stick a camera up your arm into your heart to see if you've got any blockages, and then they might need to do an angioplasty or a stent. And they told me this on Friday. I got in there on Thursday. I'm ready to go on Friday. I said, okay, I'm going home now. Well, no, you got to do this. I said, okay. When is that? They said, Monday. I said, well, then I'll go home. I'll come back on Monday. They said, no, you can't do that. You have to be in the hospital before they'll admit you for this procedure. Uh-huh. Okay, so, and I'm butting heads, and the doctor said, and I told the doctor, I said, listen, I don't trust the science. I said, you guys have no credibility anymore ever since the COVID-19 farce, fraud, that you guys all went along with. Why would I trust you guys ever again after that? And I stand my ground on that.
Good job.
Oh, yeah, no. No, I have a big mouth, trust me, in person. But, you know, I kind of diffuse my obnoxiousness with my charm. So the doctor laughed.
What you said was 1,000% true, of course. And tell me what was the reaction? You're just about to. Go ahead.
Oh, well, he said, well, okay, then you can go home now if you want. You can go home, but you will die.
Oh, he's jousting with you. Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so I said, okay, all right, Monday then. I'll go to get this cardio cam catheter thing on Monday.
They'll have selfies pretty soon. You take your own cardio cam.
Oh my God!
Selfie.
No, I watched it. I couldn't. It was creepy. Anyways, but it wasn't a big deal. It was a little bit uncomfortable.
Stefan? You watched it?
Sure.
Were there any little toy cars or toy soldiers in there laying around?
No, there are these little tiny robots running around.
Robots.
Nanobots. No, I didn't see anything. Well, yeah, I watched it, but I didn't recognize it. The interior arterial structure of the heart is not something I'm familiar with.
You were lost until you saw the golden arches, and then you felt, I'm home.
Yeah, the nanobots are building a little McDonald's in my heart. Anyway, nothing wrong with the heart, so... Finally, at the very end, I said, well, now I want to go home. No, you got to stay because you just had this procedure, and they pump dye into you, right? They give you an IV, and they pump dye in so that the dye shows up on the X-ray monitor, and you can see what's going on. They said, well, no, you can't go yet on Monday. I'm like, no, I got to go on Monday. Oh, okay. Well, stay till Tuesday then. Okay, I'll stay till Tuesday. I'm crawling up the walls. I'm going absolutely crazy. And on Tuesday, I said, okay, can I go home now? No, we just found something in your blood work. It's an enzyme. They keep finding some sort of enzyme. First it's, oh, you got a blood clot in your lungs. Go for a CT scan. No, you don't have a blood clot in your lungs. Then it's, oh, you've got heart damage. Go for this scan. No, you don't have heart damage. Anyways, Jeff, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't know why I have this heart condition. Anyway, so he says at the very end, I said, so what, doc, what is up? He says, listen, I hate to tell you this, but you're getting old. He says, when you get old,
that's their fallback position. Rather than say, we don't know.
I'm getting old.
You're getting old.
Yeah, no,
they turn you into a victim. Ridiculous.
There's nothing wrong with me. I don't know why I had this. Listen, it was very unpleasant. That's that. That's the story. Right. Now I'm back home.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Dixie, on behalf of everybody.
Yeah, Dixie saved my life again. And you know what? Again, here's the benefit of community, all right? So while I was in the hospital, I gave Dixie a set of keys to my house, right, my apartment.
Uh-huh.
So she can come and go anytime she wants. While I was in the hospital, her and her husband, Kevin, and Sheila, which is the head of our medical team, lovely lady. Well, these are wonderful people. And her daughter, Isabel, they cleaned my apartment and did my laundry.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that was bad, Jeff. It was bad. It wasn't wow. It was like, I'm so humiliated because this whatever it is wrong with me has, you know, just zapped my strength, and I've been negligent in cleaning my apartment.
Hey, it's okay. It's understood. It's not a problem. Not to
worry. You know, dirty laundry hanging off every chair and cat litter up and down the hallway, that kind of stuff. They cleaned up the entire apartment. Can you believe that?
Well, I do believe it. That's the kind of people that are up there.
That's
your
community.
One thing you have. Yeah, you have that in common with Netanyahu. You both have dirty laundry you can't take care of. The word is that when he and his lovely bride came to the White House a few days ago, they brought with, this is the word, they brought with them a couple of suitcases full of dirty laundry and asked that the White House clean their laundry. Unbelievable.
It's not come as a surprise. Those people are so insane. And
it's
by those
true.
People, I mean, the chosen ones. Yeah,
that's right. I understand. It didn't surprise me. It was just laughable. These things never cease to amaze me. You laugh.
Yep. So once again, thanks to the community I have around me here, they saved my life, made my life a lot easier. I couldn't have gotten through all this by myself, Jeff. I couldn't. You need people. You know, that's why I keep promoting the, you know, forming communities, small ones, groups of people, work together, trust each other, help each other out, drop the ego, drop the goddamn ego, you know, and just help and be decent human beings, and it makes all the difference in the world. It really does. I couldn't have survived this all by myself. Well, I could have, but my God, it would have been hell.
I understand.
It would have been hell.
See, what you have and what you people in the community have, and you all know this, is something that virtually everyone who does not have a community doesn't understand. They don't have it. There's something very special about people being people again, helping, reaching out, supporting, empathizing, commiserating, whatever you want to call it. And that's
even my delivery guy, On Your Mark, he's an independent business. He runs right, picks up and delivers anything you want. He services the whole area. He phoned me like 15 times. I said, how come I got 15 phone calls from you? He says, well, I'm doing a welfare check on you. He says, your neighbor across the road hasn't seen you in a week. I don't even know the neighbor across the road. He sees me because I stand on the balcony.
Yeah.
And I said, well, thank you, Mark, for checking in on me. He says, hey, we're family.
See, for those of you new who don't know Stefan and his community, it's a group of people who have gotten together, and Stefan has played the key role in much of it. And they are a community, not as in community. It's not communist, it's communal, it's sharing. And they've got groups of people basically who specialize in all the major things that a community would need. They can step in and help each other. And it's great. It's a different way of living. It's the way that people, I think, used to live, much more so than they do now. 100 years ago, you come over to the U.S., you migrate here from Europe, and you have the Italian community, the Irish community, and the people would support each other.
Yep.
Unspoken. They'd just do it. And we don't have that anymore.
And we don't have it on purpose. Because the powers that be don't want you to have a community. They want you isolated and alone and helpless with no options.
Oh, the state is your only friend? That's right.
That's right. Big Brother is your only friend. And that's why one of the first things they did back at the turn of the century was destroy all the mutual aid societies. They went after them on purpose, the government and the AMA, American Medical Association, targeted them on purpose because one of the things they were doing was providing health insurance. it is verboten to have a community. You have to just sit in your little concrete cube and do your little job and pay your taxes, and oh my God, the taxes here in Canada, ridiculous. I already told you 60%.
I can't believe that. I just can't. That is outrageous. There's no excusing it.
Yeah. But little Justin Castro, the bastard son of Fidel Castro and that crazy... Yeah. There are words for his mother that I'm not allowed to use on air. Just raised or is planning to raise the carbon tax. Another 25%.
Another fraud. It's all fraud.
Another complete fraud. Canada is the cleanest country in the world. Oh, my God. I mean, it's 98% forest. That's all there is up here. There's no hardly any people. The people that are in Canada hug the border with America. You know, once you get 100 miles north of the border between the U.S. and Canada, you're out in the sticks for thousands and thousands of miles. We hardly pollute anything at all, but we got to pay for the pollution, the carbon in the world. Whereas countries like India and China and Indonesia, and they don't pay any carbon tax. Hey, you guys don't pay carbon tax either. But we have to pay and pay and pay. I'm telling you, the Canadian government has taxed every nickel from under every cushion of every couch in Canada. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
The communists have to go. That's why I say there might actually be a way where another way of governmental life would be appropriate and certainly desired than the one you have now. Whole different tax structure, whole different, really a different way of addressing the needs and interests of the people, which you are not getting from what I can see at all.
No, it's, that's why I said, look, we know that Trump is under the control of the very special people that God loves the most. They are going to destroy the world because that's in their holy books. Go out and destroy the world and enslave all the lesser humans. And Jesus Christ, what an effing religion that is. Unbelievable. But
it truly is.
Even it's still, as bad as Trump is, come to my neighborhood. We are so far down the communist road. I tell people, listen, let's join America. Canadians have given up the right to own their own country. 9 years of that little twit and being taxed out of every penny that you own. You've given up the right to own a country. Let's just give it to the United States. It could not be worse. So that's the way I feel.
That's going to be the major marketing plan if this is really put on the front burner and pushed. It couldn't be worse. It can only be better. America is not communism. You just saw America eject the Biden camel communist regime, and they've just they're firing. What they Trump just he just fired 93 federal judges who were appointed by Biden, the Biden camel regime. They're gone, and
good.
He literally is actually. He didn't before, but he is now making all the motions of trying to drain the swamp in very substantial and meaningful ways. So I'm watching.
Yeah, I've been telling my followers that, listen, this is a good thing. It doesn't mean we're saved, okay? But it means that everybody's going to be on their best behavior for the next 6 months or so. So this is your chance to stock up on your supplies. To try to save some money and invest in gold and silver and get some extra food in the house and buy some extra ammo. This is, you know, we've got a little breathing space. So get as much done as you can in the next 6 months because after that, what, war with Iran?
Maybe within 6 months, maybe March. Maybe
sooner.
McGregor's saying March. He's worried about. We'll see.
Oh yeah, I like McGregor. He's
He's,
there's not many people I follow anymore, Jeff, because I think they're all frauds. And if they're not frauds, they're morons. But McGregor, he's dead on. I follow him. He has, you know, a clear understanding of how the world really works. And so if he's saying March, okay, well, listen. You got a few weeks.
I think,
get ready.
Frankly, I would rather see he knows about the chosen people. He gets that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, he does. And I would much rather, frankly, see him in the White House, McGregor. He'd be a superb president.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what does the rank and file Canadian really feel about this? Now there's a knee jerk response. Hell no, we're not going to become part of the U.S. Hell no. And they ignore the horror that is being visited upon them all the time. What is it? The devil you know, than the one you don't know? Is that what's going on here? No.
I don't know, Jeff.
You'd be better off. Look, it's all going to hell anyhow. So why not go to hell under a reasonable umbrella that's going to protect you more than your government is? You're not getting any protection.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got nothing in this game. I'm just trying to be pragmatic about it.
No, so, I know, Jeff. You're hiding out there in Oregon. the radar.
I'm not hiding. There's nowhere to hide. By the way, it's spelled Oregun, and that's how you pronounce it. That's how you pronounce it. Oregon.
Really?
It's not Oregon or Aragon.
Oregon. Oh,
no, it's Oregon.
Well, that's my Canadian accent, so we'll have to.
That's okay. Not a problem.
Well, I don't know, Jeff. Listen, everybody feels there is something wrong, right? Well, everybody, most people. But again, I live in a bubble now. I live among people that are aware of what's going on. So among my community, we know what's going on, and we realize how serious the threat is to our livelihoods and our freedom is. But the average Canadian, they still don't get it. Canada is very Marxist. The Overton window has gone.
You got it. You're right.
Yeah,
a bubble.
Gone so far to the left that you can't talk to most Canadians. They don't get it. The only thing I see is I belong to a couple of Facebook groups for local towns. Like there's one for Ingersoll and one for Tillotsonburg and one for Delhi, and I see the comments on there, and they're all Karens, they're all Marxists, but within the community circle that I belong to, even my delivery guy Mark, he knows what's going on.
Well, your community is reality. These people don't live in reality; they're disconnected.
That's right.
They're 5 hours a day on their smartphones, or more.
Yeah.
They don't. They just truly don't get it. They've now been completely programmed and conditioned to go through life looking and reacting, looking and reacting. They're not proactive about much of anything anymore. They don't know how. And their reality is what they perceive on that phone. That becomes they're programmed. They're being programmed all the time. Nothing surprising here to you who get it. You all get it.
Yeah, well, of course, your listeners get it, because otherwise they wouldn't be listening to you. So, you know, you and I, we live sort of in a bubble that the people that we interact with do get it. And so we think, well, you know, there's a big awakening happening. No, there isn't. The rest of Canadians do sense there's something wrong because they can't afford to feed themselves. But
a little indicator there. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Aside from that, they don't understand, you know, that it's a Marxist communist shithole that we live in. They don't get any of that. They don't understand the politics, the ideology of it. And they certainly don't understand that it's the special people, the ones God loves the most, that are orchestrating all this from behind the scenes and robbing us blind. That they don't get at all. Oh, my God. If I bring up the JQ, people look at me in horror. What? Oh, you sound like an anti-Semite. Well, if you knew what was going on, you'd be an anti-Semite, too.
Well, they don't know. And they probably never
they don't
will.
Know. No, they never will. And you can't wake them up to them. I'll be honest with you. When I first woke up to the JQ, I could feel myself resisting the programming. I went to...
Define JQ for our people out there.
The Jewish question, which is the question every country for the last 3,000 years
3,000,
have asked.
For sure. Same problem, same issues.
Yeah, 4,000 years. The question every country for the last 4,000 years has asked, what the hell do we do to get rid of the goddamn J's? You know? That's the JQ, well, the Jewish
Jesus,
question. What do we do to get rid of these people, to get these
Jesus
parasites
got rid of them.
Off our back and we gain our countries again? And that's the big question. So what do you do? Well, there's nothing you can do right now. They are embedded deeper than a tick's head in your leg, you know.
More than ever. More so now than ever.
More than ever.
And I'm sorry to say, but it's progressing down the wrong road. It's not good.
It's a fatal infection. It's fatal now. It will kill us. Well, that's what parasites do. They infest the host. And in most of the life cycles of parasites, not all parasites, but most parasites, once they infest the host, their life cycle requires the host to die. And then once the host dies, the parasites jump off the carcass and find another healthy body to infect. And that's what happens. So we're mm-hmm. just about a dead carcass right now. Of course, you know, the special ones that God loves the most have their bags packed and they have their getaway plan in place where they can take off to somewhere to hide out and ready to reemerge from the muck to infect the next prosperous country. And the rest of us, we can all drop dead and starve to death. And that's the way it goes.
I don't know how you can say it any more cleaner and clearer than that, but that is the truth.
Well, that's the, you know, because when I study, you know, I am one of the world authorities on psychopaths, believe it or not. I did a search. There was a search engine, something, Scholastic References, and it searches anytime your name has come up in a research paper. Okay, so I thought, oh, that's curious. Let me check that out. So I entered my name to see how many times my name came up in research papers, and it turns out my name comes up a lot in research papers alongside Dr. Robert Hare, who is the world's leading authority on psychopathy. He wrote the Psychopath Next Door and another book. I forget the name of it. But he's a Canadian. He's out in the West Coast. And they quote me and him in unison. So, yeah, no, I know all about psychopaths. My YouTube video, Defense Against the Psychopath, is still one of the most popular videos. It's 38 minutes. It's a documentary. It explains what they are and why they end up controlling everything. It's very clear and easy to understand. And why you will always be ruled by psychopaths, especially under a democracy, with a monarchy, at least there is a possibility, a slight chance, every generation or so, that you'll be ruled by a monarch that is not a psychopath. But under a democracy, you will always be ruled by a psychopath. You know, that's why the founding fathers tried to make it into a republic. The checks and balances are there to prevent a psychopath from gaining total control. That's what the checks and balances are about.
It was a nice idea.
They knew it. They knew that if they put it in a democracy, that it would be overthrown and subverted by the usual parasites and turned into a hellhole. So they tried the best, you know. What was it? Jefferson said, we created a republic if you can keep it.
If you can
they
keep
knew,
it.
You know. even with the checks and balances. Good luck that this is going to last very long, because they knew human nature and they knew parasites. Whether they called them parasites or psychopaths or not doesn't matter. They knew that type of person. And so that's why every democracy is going to be ruled by parasites. And so, you know, I was, that was my research into why the world is evil. Why is it always ruled by lunatics and men of evil and pedophiles and all the garbage of the planet?
It's an old theme. Church. It's not new. It's been around as long as people have been. Why does the filth rise to the top of control?
That I used to say, life is a cesspool and shit floats. I should say government is a cesspool and shit floats. So, but I continued my studies on it. Because I still, Jeff, I'm trying to understand the source of evil. How can I, what can I do to interfere? Because, you know, my first book is on strategy and tactics. I am a Tai Gong, which is a kind of a special characteristic that occurs in Chinese history, which is like a master of strategy. The Tai Gong is the guy the emperor would go to and say, listen, we are screwed. What can we do? And it's the Tai Gong's job to come up with a strategy to save the country. So I'm the Tai Gong. I'm trying to come up with a strategy to save my country, your country, our country, you know, the Western European culture and heritage. That's what we talk about, America, Canada. America and Canada is Europe, the descendants of Europeans. What can we do? What can we do to save them? I'm always thinking about it. So, I'm working on it. I've gone from psychopaths to parasites. That's why I know about the life cycle of the parasite.
Right.
I get in the car one day.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I get in the car, and there's a program on CBC Radio, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or we call it the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. And there's a panel discussion. Sometimes they talk about books. You know, they have like authors, the author's show or the writer's show. And I got in late onto the show because I just got in the car, turned on the radio, and they're talking about a book. And I'm starting to listen to this book, and oh my God, I'm thinking, what the hell is this book? I don't know the name of the author. I don't know the name of the book, but they're talking about the book. And they're saying, well, and then he talks about parasite this, and he talks about parasite that. Jeff, it was the script I was writing for my follow-up video on defense against the psychopath. It was going to be called Planet of the Parasites, because it's really like a science fiction movie. Planet of the Parasites. And I'm listening to, and I'm thinking, Jesus, who is this guy? This guy has taken the words right out of my mouth. So I got to my destination, but I didn't get out of the car. I got to find out who this writer is and what this book is. Finally, at the end of the show, they reveal, again, they brought it up at the beginning, but I missed it. They reveal who the writer was and what the book was. Well, I was flabbergasted. I was floored when I found out that the book was called My Struggle. I said, oh my God, I cannot make this video because everybody will now accuse me of plagiarizing Hitler.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, yeah. So there you go. That's when I started looking. Geez, this guy got it dead on, you know. So now, I don't know, perfectly innocently, I found out I am a Nazi.
Well, it happens to the best of us. Don't worry.
My God, Jeff, I'm telling you. Yeah. But, you know, what he was writing about, like, you know, we got to get, because they're in there and they're destroying everything and they're polluting everything and they're degrading everything. They're taking control of the media and that. and the theaters and the music and the schools and the universities and the medical business. And I'm going, holy Jesus, this guy's got it on right, you know. Because that's exactly what's happened to us. We are completely under the thumb of all those institutions have all been subverted and infiltrated by a certain group of parasites that are busily destroying everything in our country. There was an analogy I thought was funny. So.
Yeah, they can't seem to figure out that a successful parasite does not destroy its host.
They can't help themselves.
They can't. They can't stop the greed. Now, here's a little clip from Colonel Douglas McGregor, since we mentioned him. Just a little shorty, talking about Trump and the Chosen. Yeah.
And I also don't think he understands that Israel is viewed within the framework of the entire region by everybody who lives there as an artificial construct. It is not a natural development. It's something that was implanted under the British Empire and has never fully assimilated and never tried to assimilate in any way, shape, or form into the region. If you look at that and then you look at what's been going on right now, it is impossible to think that we will avoid between now and March at some point a major regional war that will inevitably bring everybody in.
You say March.
Okay, just a little note, and the reason he's saying that is because Trump has been instructed to expunge all the Palestinians from Gaza, to clear the stage for Dubai on the Mediterranean, which is what I call it, etc. They're going to try to force Egypt, Jordan, to take 2 million Palestinians in. I could see it potentially happening in Sinai. I don't think Jordan could take it. It would destroy the monarchy there, and that would be that. But they've already got it all drawn and plot mapped out. The whole Gaza, it's all designed. Housing, villages, towns, beachfront lots, ocean view lots, hotels, casinos, playground toys all over the place, an international airport. This is Trump. He's talking about he's going to be the primary contractor. He's been told what's going to happen, and you don't have to tell him twice. When that dinner bell for money rings, he's right there. Yeah, that's what they do.
That's what they do. Listen, these plans have been in the works for probably 20, 30 years anyway, so...
For sure.
For sure. This stuff is thought out long before anybody else even begins to think about it. They've already got the blueprints for how it's going to go down. And by the time we find out about it, it's pretty much a done deal by that time.
I don't see any...
Yeah, go ahead.
How is this not going to happen? They're trying to make it seem now, Israel is... That they've kind of washed their hands of it. They're not going to even deal with it anymore. It's so disgusting. But here comes Trump to the rescue. No, here comes Trump under instructions to the rescue. They lost the Gaza war to Hamas. They didn't win. They left.
Yeah.
They had cut the whole country in Gaza. They've cut Gaza in half. There was a line of demarcation, and they had it all staked out with troops, and they kept getting their butts wiped, and they were destroyed, and they had to leave. So they lost again. So they're going to let us fight another war for Israel. That's what the game is.
So yeah, what's let the volume die and bleed, and let's
of course,
not forget
of course.
That the American taxpayer will have to pay for everything, which what else is
new? Well, how much have we given Ukraine? It's $200 billion. And we've given the Jews $35 billion? I don't know. That's the admitted amount. It's just, it's, and yet Americans can just go away and die. Go rot.
Yeah.
You veterans away and die.
It's heartbreaking to see what's going on in America. Beautiful cities now total decay. Yeah. It's like Mad Max, you know, tens of thousands of people dying on the streets from fentanyl and all the other drugs are just complete zombies.
Well, it's open season. Kill the goyim. That's what it is.
That's what
it is.
What
do you think
is?
The COVID vaccine was? Same. As, come on,
exactly.
It's genocide.
Yeah, it was genocide. And, it's heartbreaking. You know, when I think about what's wrong with my heart, well, part of it is I am heartbroken, Jeff. I'm heartbroken to see everything that I've ever admired and ever loved and ever cared about in my world come to an end, never to return. I'm heartbroken. That's part of what's affecting me, I'm sure.
Totally understand.
I might have
right to be. All good people should feel that way. At seeing desecration that has been done to what we had and what we could have had.
It's all gone, Jeff. You know?
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys the story last time about my trip to Switzerland?
I don't believe so.
And the middle-aged Swiss lady that cooked me dinner at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes, you did. Wonderful story.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I got emails from some of my followers, you know, the younger guys that said, I loved your story, but I feel so sad because I will never know anything like that.
They wrote that to you. Well,
yeah.
Good for them. Good for them for understanding what has been taken.
Yeah.
And other people will say, well, it really wasn't taken as much as it was just given up. They just didn't, people didn't protect and defend what they had. So it was very easy to take it away.
Well, you know, I've been a warrior most of my life. I've been a martial arts instructor. I even taught Krav Maga. you know, I worked for the Israeli commandos for a while. No, I'm not kidding. I taught the police forces and everything like that. But the thing is, there aren't very many real men left in the world, and that is a big problem.
Alpha masculinity, males? No. Endangered species.
Endangered species, masculinity, evil. And so who's going to stand up and fight for what we had? Nobody's standing up to fight for jack shit. So, of course, that's what happens. Yeah, we let it happen. Nobody resisted. We let it happen. But we got to get back to that. We got to get back to being warriors and stand up. What we have lost, Jeff. It hurts me. That's why I have heart problems. I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty self-aware and I'm able to regulate and control my own inner emotions, but I might have internalized my despair. And that might be a contributing factor to my heart condition. I'm just so sad. I'm so sad. But I am encouraged by my community. What a bunch of lovely people. What a bunch of wonderful, wonderful people. And so this is, I was recently researching high trust societies. And, you know, when I was a kid, you've seen the Roger Moore Bowling for Columbine movie that came out with 20 years ago, where he walked through a neighborhood in Canada and checked the doors, and nobody had locked their doors. That's a high trust society. That's the society I grew up in when I was a child. Nobody locked their doors. If you got into any trouble, you could knock on any door anywhere in the neighborhood, and somebody would come and help you. You know, the neighbor could drive up and down the street in his big stretch station wagon, pick up a half a dozen kids and drive them to the swimming hole on a hot summer's day. Nobody questioned whether or not those kids were going to be trafficked into some sort of child prostitution ring. It was a high-trust society. And part of the reason why Western European peoples are able to create such prosperous countries, such well-functioning countries. Okay, look, everybody's got their problems. Humanity is humanity. You know, there's always going to be those characters. But on general, we used to have, you know, Norman Rockwell, my three sons,
Let me stop you right there. For any of you who don't know Norman Rockwell, look him up. Norman Rockwell, the artist, the painter. Look at his beautiful illustrations. That's what we used to have. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. No, to me, Norman Rockwell epitomizes the American spirit, the American dream. And, you know, that's what a high-trust society creates. Now, what happens with this mass immigration is you, in addition to, you know, there's a number of different ways that it destroys a country. Uh-huh. But one of the key ingredients and its ability to destroy a country is that it creates a low-trust society. And in a low-trust society, nothing gets accomplished. Everything is a scam. Everybody lies. Everybody steals. Everybody cheats. Everybody abuses those lower than them on the pecking scale. That's a low-trust society. And the people we are importing all come from very, very low-trust societies. And the more we let in, the less we all trust each other, the less things will, you know, it becomes corruption and degeneracy. And so we need to, you know, get back to a high-trust society. Well, how do you do that? Okay, we're back to my original solution for all our problems that I've been boring Jeff with for the last year and a half, and that is community. When you form the community, that community becomes your high-trust society. I mean, I give keys to my apartment to people in my community. You're allowed to come and go whenever you want. I trust them not to rob me. Can you believe that? You hand out keys to your house and you can trust that they won't come in there and empty out everything you've got. That won't be...
I wonder how many people can feel that today.
How many people feel
Nobody
that?
Living in a city. Maybe a small town.
Yeah.
And we're speaking generalities here, but it's bad out there.
Yeah, it's generalities, but generalities is truth. You know, it's the average. It's the consensus. So, folks, please get together, work with each other, work with your family. I keep saying family. Families don't get along with each other. Families can't stand each other. They fight and argue, and especially if somebody dies and there's an inheritance, well, forget about it. But, you know, if you can, go to my website, formingcommunities.com.
What's the website? Make sure, I'm just going to ask you. Give us the URL that people can go and learn.
Forming Communities, one word, .com. And everything you need to know how to form, you know, you name it. Even like the welfare check. My DoorDash driver does a welfare check on me. Because we're all family here, you know.
That's pretty remarkable.
Is that remarkable? Can you believe that?
Yes, it is.
And but even something as simple as a wellness check that you form a small community. I mean, if you're a senior and you're living alone, you need somebody that will call you once every couple of days, make sure you're still alive, that you didn't have a stroke and you're lying on the bathroom floor and nobody knows you're sick and injured and nobody will come and check on you. No, it's what we call a checkup club. It's a welfare check. You call each other. Even something that simple, it's so easy. But formingcommunities.com, learn how to form communities. There's dozens and dozens of different communities you can form. Find people you can trust. It's your own personal high-trust society.
Right.
And
very nice.
I don't see any other way of getting through it, Jeff.
There is no other way. I think that's it, really. We turn back into people and begin to honor that and respect each other. The door is just right over there. Okay, you get well or weller, get mo better. Take care of yourself. I'm glad
Thank
to see you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Doing
I'll
well.
Try.
You sound good. All right. Okay,
yeah,
Stefan.
You.
Talk to you next
okay,
month.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Good night.
Now. Stefan Verstappen. Okay, that's it for Friday. We will be with you on the network throughout the weekend and back on Monday. Have a good weekend. They go by quickly. Lots to do. Thanks for being here. Take good care. Talk soon.